Hello, Rapids fans. This is Holding the High Line with Rabbi in Red. My name is Matt Pollard. It is Friday, January 20th, 2023. Earlier this week, Michael Rice, who is a writer for World Football Index and New York Soccer Times and has a YouTube channel and podcast called MLS Updater, asked me to come on his show to talk about the Colorado Rapids, preview the 2023 season. And the conversation was perfectly timed because it was right at the tail end of that 48-hour period this week where the Rapids were linked to the Danish center back and the two goalkeepers and Connor Ronan for Wolves. It was a really good conversation. Michael did all of his homework. Always appreciate that as a guest on somebody else's podcast. It was so good. I asked him, hey, Michael, my listeners would really like to hear me say this. Could you give me the audio and could I run it on our own feed for our own listeners? And he said, absolutely. So here is that conversation. This conversation happened prior to the news from this morning, talking to you on Friday, regarding Vox Media and SB Nation. There will be another episode out on the feed where Rabbi and I talk about all of that and the fallout and what it could mean for us and Burgundy Wave and me and the general MLS media landscape as well. Fair warning, that episode is not safe for work. Things were consumed prior to and during the recording. Four-letter words were said as well for that. But if you want to get caught up on the actual news from the Rapids this week, there's this episode. And then talking about the media stuff and everything will come in the episode later on, just a little bit later in the feed. If you're listening to this like Saturday afternoon, it's probably already up there as well. Links to Michael and all of his stuff, where you can find all of his content, are in the show notes. Without further ado, here is my 2023 Colorado Rapids preseason preview and silly season analysis with Michael Rice for MLS Updater.
Hi guys, welcome to another MLS Updater with me, Mike. Today we're going to take a bit of a deep dive into the Colorado Rapids. I'm delighted to have Matt with me today. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm very good. How are you, Michael?
Really good, thank you. Really good. Down here in Lima, so I'm enjoying the summer as opposed to your winter right now, as you've been saying. So, how's things going covering the club? Let everyone know where you do that at the moment and where they can follow all your work.
Sure. Just to get you set and get you primed for talking about the Rapids, Michael, there's about a half foot of snow on the ground. What's that in centimeters? 15 centimeters, maybe. And it's cold. We're getting more snow today. The Colorado Rapids are currently based in Querétaro. They're playing their first of three indoor behind closed door scrimmages in Mexico. So they're at altitude, but certainly in a warm place as well. So they're in a good place. You're in a good place, Michael. I'm in a great place for skiing. Not a great place for football, but it's been a busy time around the club, as we'll get to. There's a bunch of rumors. I am the managing editor of Burgundy Wave. It's the Colorado Rapids site within the SB Nation mega mothership. And then I'm also host of one of the two premier Colorado Rapids podcasts, Holding the High Line with Rabbi and Red. I know we're not doing video, but I am the ginger of those two as well. So that's me. And then you can follow me on Twitter if you really want, at LWS Matt Pollard.
Fantastic. And let's dive straight in with a quick look at 2022. Obviously 2021 was a fantastic season and things really did change. What really happened there? Was it just too many players underperforming last year, or was there the way the roster was set up wasn't quite settled to what needed to happen?
2021, everything I think went about as perfectly as it could in terms of how the team was playing, the results, the certain things that they did tactically, every signing that they had hit, they were very healthy. And then I think the other teams around them that would have been super competitive at the top of the Supporters Shield race, at the top of the Western Conference, had kind of an off period towards the end of that season that allowed the Rapids to finish top of the Western Conference in the regular season. Obviously heartbreaking and unexpected knockout loss in that first round to the Portland Timbers on American Thanksgiving. In terms of what happened this season, obviously there were some departures. The club sold Kellen Acosta and under kind of dubious circumstances for me. He's now, you know, World Cup veteran and MLS Cup champion with Los Angeles FC. Cole Bassett was loaned out for his first of two clubs that he was at the Netherlands, and the midfield depth kind of fell off. You add in key long-term injuries to Brian Galvan and Abubakar Keita, and then eventually Ali Larraz and Yaya Toure. That takes away your depth at every single position. Toure forward, Ali's a midfielder, Abubakar Keita was a center back. They had issues at center back this past year, and Brian Galvan's kind of gonna play in a couple of different roles. And then throughout it, Jack Price, you know, captain, got hurt as well. That hurt the team on set pieces, that hurt the team defensively, and they're albeit, you know, weak center back core was ultimately exposed, and they couldn't really, Robin Fraser was patching things up and everything. Yeah. You know, it was a smooth journey through 2021. And then as soon as he figured out how to plug one hole or have one hole not be the reason the ship's going to sink, another hole would ultimately plug up. And, you know, eventually, you know, that just the team couldn't take it, and they ended up missing the playoffs, albeit by what I think 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, it all ended up incredibly close going into the those last couple of weeks of the season, and could have gone either way at times. I think you had a really tough run in at the end of that. You're playing competitors going for those playoff spots, I remember off the top of my head. Yeah, it was a difficult time, but a new season ahead to change things up. And we were saying before we started, it's fortuitous timing for doing this, as rumours are circling round as to more additions coming in. But one that's already come in that I guess we should really sort of highlight, Kevin Cabral coming in from the LA Galaxy. Tell us a little bit about how this has been received around the club, the ideas of what they want, how they want to use him after not the best spell in LA Galaxy, to say the least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. You know, Michael, the Rapids don't spend like other teams obviously do. And there's kind of this theme. I've added words to it, so it's going to sound long and complicated, but it's going to make sense. But it's the it's distressed assets island. It's revenge of the distressed assets on an island FC. The Rapids really started this trend that we've seen now of domestic players moving within the league and then using those mechanisms to get quality, proven domestic players at a what would be a reasonable price relative to what they would sell for internationally, or what a player in a similar league at a similar level coming into MLS would cost. And obviously there's financial mechanisms that limit the amount and how many of those players that you can bring in. And the Rapids really kicked that off. You know, if there's ever an ESPN 30 for 30 on this, that first big trade should be Kellen Acosta from FC Dallas to Colorado Rapids. And so this is the biggest upside trade that they've had. If you talk about what the Rapids ultimately paid for him as opposed to what they could get and what they could resell him for. Now, understandably, I think the Galaxy ultimately ended up overpaying. I think I heard in total assets, I think it was $6 million or something like that. And then obviously the Rapids just sent I think it was a million in general allocation money. And then the Galaxy are picking up half of his wages. And then there's a sell on clause with that as well. But, you know, if we're talking about if the Rapids can get him back up to where he's actually worth $6 million and then another French team comes in for that, then the Rapids paid one, are getting three for that. They're making a profit on that on top of having a productive player that the Galaxy are paying, half of his wages for that. So it's a mixed bag in terms of where he was at with the LA Galaxy. I think it's interesting. The Rapids are obviously going to use him in a different way and ways that are going to try and get the most out of Kevin Cabral, because they don't have Chicharito Hernandez on the team. Cabral was available for the media day that we had Tuesday of last week, I think. And, you know, I asked him what position is he most comfortable in. Growing up, he was actually an underneath striker in a two striker system. The Rapids play with a front three, as I'm sure you're familiar with. Yeah. And he said, you know, he's comfortable up top. He's comfortable on the left as well. And then he can, but doesn't prefer to play on the right. The Rapids have Sam Nicholson and Michael Barrios on the right. Yeah. So I don't think that's a problem. So I think the team's going to come in and Robin Fraser's going to think, where is Kevin Cabral most comfortable? Where can I get the most out of him? He's getting priority in terms of that. If you combine that with maybe the way that he left the LA Galaxy, the familial like uplifting that you see from the Colorado Rapids, and the fact that it's a bunch of other guys that showed up from other teams that are kind of peeved and have a point to prove, and Robin Fraser is very good with young players, if that's not an environment for this guy to succeed, then he was never worth and will never be worth $6 million.
I see what you mean. It's definitely the taking the gamble in some ways, but highlighting the fact that he obviously had quality. There's something LA Galaxy saw, and I guess Robin Fraser's saying, well, you've used him incorrectly. And he thinks he sees something that says I can change up how this player is used and really get the best out of him. And like you say, from going from a million in GAM to have so much of his wage covered, it takes down that gamble was made even less coming in. It's not so many sort of eggs in one basket.
Yeah, the low floor is what you got out of Jossie Zardes last year. And then the high is, I think, certainly we don't really have a young player of the year award. I think Cabral's too old now for the under 22. But, you know, certainly, you know, a player that we think of, you know, as that second tier level star that puts up good numbers and can have some highlight reels. A player to properly complement Diego Rubio, who the Colorado Rapids haven't had since Kai Kamara in 2019.
Yeah, I guess speaking of Diego Rubio, I think he had his best season last year, didn't he? And it looks like then, from what you're saying, him and Cabral could be this sort of central point with the two. Neither one really seems like a focal striker, but it makes a very sort of fluid attack with the two changing up how maybe one drops deeper, one rotates around, one gets forward. Is that something that looks likely to happen?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Rubio kind of had a really interesting arc. First of all, he had statistically the best individual season that a striker has ever had. Let me make sure that I don't get my stats wrong. So played in 30 of the 34 games, and then he had 16 goals and 7 assists. His 16 goals tied on decision day, literally with the last kick of the ball to get that draw in Austin, tied Connor Casey, I think 2009, 2010, sometime around the MLS Cup years, but Connor Casey didn't have 7 assists. So, 23 goal contributions is the best regular season that a Rapids forward has ever had. And he did that with a couple different positions. And he did that with really not a lot of help around him. Jonathan Lewis was inconsistent. Michael Barrios got moved to a backup striker role in the midfield in front of him was a mess. And he didn't get the same service that he would have wanted or needed on set pieces without Jack Price as well. And then, you know, Jossie Zardes comes in and Rubio gets moved into almost a 10 dual 8 position in that midfield 3, and he's just as dangerous and just as productive if you look at shot attempts and goal contributions and everything. I can't think of, there's very few attackers I would think of in this league that you move them further away from goal and they're even more dangerous from where they were in their natural position. So I think you could see a couple of different combinations. Robin Fraser really loves his versatility. So the fact that Cabral can play anywhere in the front three, the fact that you can have Rubio in the midfield, you can have Rubio up top as well. I think we could see a couple different combinations, and we could see the team certainly play with that during this preseason period and in the early part of the season. The final primary transfer window date, I think, doesn't close until late April, though with what we'll come on to in a couple minutes, maybe the Rapids are actually doing all of their business literally in the month of January rather than waiting till late February to get it all officially over the line and get those players in. So Robin Fraser likes his versatility, and he likes matching up certain little nuances to the opponent's weaknesses. So we could see him play or have two or three different versions of what the Rapids look like, depending on what the opponent is presenting.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, they seem to be the two focal, like, central forwards. Does this mean, like, maybe young players like Darren Yappe are going to get a few extra minutes with, like, a busier season ahead, with, like, obviously Leagues Cup as well and things like that?
Yeah, I think it'll be, that's the other kind of wild card that you have of, do we have one of those young players really step in? That's the one thing that I didn't mention, Michael, from the from what went wrong in 2021. You didn't really have a young player really step up and elevate themselves like you saw Sam Vines in 2018, Bassett in 2019, Brian Gavon when he got settled in 2021. And so I think that's what we're kind of looking for. You know, Yappe was great at the MLS 2 level, feeding off of scraps and still managing to score goals, hit a couple penalties that he drew as well. I'd like to see him make that next step. And then obviously the Rapids got, you know, Calvin Harris coming over from FC Cincinnati. And it's my understanding that the Rapids were really interested in Calvin Harris when they traded up to third to try and get him that draft year. Cincinnati ended up picking second and needed a young striker as well. So that's another little wrinkle that we could have. I still think certainly Kevin Cabral and Diego Rubio are going to get way more minutes than I think those two combined. They're going to score way more goals individually than I think those two combined. If Calvin Harris does bang in 10 goals, then I think we're talking about the Rapids hosting a home playoff game. But Robin Fraser likes his young players. He also will take time in terms of having them in training or in preseason really prove themselves to him. And when they've done that, they will get opportunities. And so we saw Darren Yappe do that over the course of the 2022 season, where he was in training, he looked okay with the first team, and then ultimately he got opportunities with the second team, scored a bunch of goals, was in training regularly towards the end of the season, even with Jossie Zardes still healthy, obviously, and then he gets that start on decision day. didn't look particularly good, but I can't think of many MLS rookies that would look great, you know, in a road game at Austin, and Austin's fighting for, you know, an MLS Cup at that point. So I think they could get minutes as well. If you ask me right now, what do I think the Rapids are doing in Seattle? I think Kevin Cabral starts in the middle. And I think Kevin Cabral starts up top as the number nine. And I think Diego Rubio starts at the 10 as well. But, you know, ask me after I've evaluated some, you know, the highlight reel footage that we see from those closed door scrimmages over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. Definitely. And let's talk about Cole Bassett. Obviously, you mentioned how important he was when he was there. He's gone away to the Netherlands, had a bit of a difficult time, it seems, will be returning. How big is this going to be for him as well as the club in 2023?
I think it's massive for the club, first of all. You know, the midfield was shot to bits, you know, this past season with injuries, with departures as well. And the players that they brought in, with the exception of really Ralph Prizzo, who, again, is another young player out of the TFC Academy that was going to have a hard time getting into that first team with Jonathan Osorio and, you know, old man Michael Bradley and everything. So, you know, Cole's going to be huge. Everything that the team did right that the team needed in midfield in 2021, Cole Bassett and Kellen Acosta provided, and then they lost that and they weren't really able to get that back. And then you look at it, even though, you know, I would argue, I think in many ways you could call it a failure. I think certainly as his age, you know, I would say the stint at Feyenoord was eye-opening. And then, you know, I've heard from multiple people the situation ended up changing really quickly with the new head coach, you know, coming in, what, four training sessions in, and that changed completely. And Cole was kind of, you know, was hung out to dry, or, you know, the situation completely changed and it wasn't suiting him given it was a short-term loan anyways. But even then, he's stronger on the ball. I think he's certainly fitter, even though he was training at sea level and now he's back at altitude and everything. So I think he's coming in probably also thinking in a way that, you know, he's got a point to prove. You know, he went over to Europe, couldn't really play with Feyenoord. They sold, you know, a bunch of players, got 60 million euros and everything. You know, they're challenging for the league right now. They're trying to do something in Europe, and that's not necessarily the situation where Cole was going to kind of slide in naturally, you know, next to Goose Teal in that midfield. And then he goes to Fortuna, he doesn't play. And from an outsider's perspective, oh, young player comes in to a Dutch club that, you know, is looking to move players on and everything. He doesn't really fit in. And then he goes to, you know, a bottom feeder that's fighting the relegation battle and he barely plays at all. He sucks. He should play in MLS. He wants to prove that wrong. Robin Fraser wants to put him in a position to prove that wrong because he's going to be able to score goals. You know, one of Cole's nicknames here in Colorado is Goal Bassett, as opposed to Cole Bassett. So, you know, we could see that as well, what he does in the midfield and everything. And on top of that, you know, he said, and he looks to be much, much stronger on the ball in terms of in possession when things get physical or when there's really tight spaces. And that was the one thing that he struggled on before. And that was the one thing that absolutely he looked poor at when he was in the Netherlands as well. And that's something the Rapids were not particularly good at. They couldn't really get a grips on the midfield, win the ball back, and then cleanly play out and everything. Cole Bassett should be able to contribute to that. Yeah. Wolves player who we'll talk about in a minute, who's combined with a healthy Jack Price as well, could contribute to that. And then you've got Ollie Larraz and Ralph Prizzo finally healthy and proving themselves to Robin Fraser coming off the bench as well.
Yeah, definitely. Let's stick with Connor Ronan, the Wolves midfielder that's coming in. It seems been linked. So how is this going to change up? It appears he'd be quite a flexible player across the midfield from what I'm reading. And he's been on multiple loans. So he's fitting in. He's done well at coming into a new side and settling quite quickly. And I guess that must be another key part of bringing him across to Colorado.
Yeah, Michael, we could do a whole podcast on just the parallels between the English Championship and Major League Soccer and the similarities and where players at that level have succeeded and failed, and then also the wide variety of results that you have within that. You know, I have to think, you know, Irish international Porrick Smith, the technical director, vice president of technical vice president and general manager for your side and most of your audience, effectively the technical director. You know, is originally from Ireland. And then obviously Connor would have overlapped for 2 years, I think, in the championship and then in the Premier League with Jack Price as well. And so I have to think Price knows something about this player or knows somebody who could say whether or not he's good or not. And I'm sure Porrick has some connections down in Ireland from some youth team that Connor played for that was coached by a player that Porrick played with during his non-league days as well. So I think the one thing that is a little bit concerning for me is you look at like where his loans have been and where he's played a whole lot, and then where that compares to the competitive level within MLS. You know, it's a lot of English League One, which generally we would say is a little bit below MLS. Yeah. And then also he was in the Scottish Premiership for not one of the four teams you'd want a player from the from Scotland coming from, and I can't remember the other league that he was in as well. So that's maybe a little bit of a concern, but given maybe his background and the familiarity the Rapids have, and maybe also he's just coming in to be a depth piece as well. You know, as I mentioned, I think Cole Bassett walks in to the starting lineup for the Rapids as well. Jack Price is going to be healthy. So it's four or five guys, kind of young, can do a couple different things, fighting for that other midfield role. And that, of course, is assuming Diego Rubio isn't in the midfield as well. So, I'm curious to see what this move means and everything. We're having media availability. Hopefully when the club gets back from Mexico in 2 weeks now, I think. And that's one question I'm going to ask. What do they see in him? What role he has and what expectations are? But if he's coming in as a bench player that's going to kind of fill in and everything, and Connor's okay with that, I think that's fine. What that means, given what the Irish national team Twitter's response to this move was, I think is a valid question.
Yeah, true. I guess that, like, with, like you're saying, they're restocking in this area. You've got starters. I mean, Jack Price is going to play when healthy. If Rubio drops in, Cole Bassett's going to play when healthy. It adds depth, but what does this mean for players like Ralph Preso, who earns the new side at Conor Rowland? Like, where do they find their spots in this team? And Preso, it looked like he needed that sort of, he's needed this time to settle after coming in that deal that where Marc-Anthony Kay left. What's your thoughts on him now as a having time to see where he is in the squad? And
yeah, Robin Fraser loves competition, I think, across all positions. And so you had that in the midfield and at center back eventually in 2021. And you were missing that with just the quality level. Well, I think it's an interesting question. You know, Ralph's also just 19 years old. So, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think that this isn't a move that's going to dampen things down. I think this is going to push everybody to be better. Who ultimately ends up starting in those games, I think, is going to be really important. And, you know, I think also you look at it, I think the Rapids are going to be, I think, you know, with League's Cup and then trying to also be competitive in Open Cup, I think they're hoping that they're going to have more games to where there's going to need to be squad rotation as well. You know, as I, you know, again, another theme of this podcast is just, you know, Robin Fraser absolutely loves versatility, and Ralph Preso brings something a little bit different from what the other players had, similar to Kellen Acosta in terms of he's a bulldog in the midfield. The joke that I would call, that I was calling Kellen at the time, was War Daddy. I don't know if that translates to, you know, your slang, but I'm not sure what this means for Ralph Preso. There's going to be competition, and when he does get on the field, he's going to be a much better version because he proved it in training from where he was last year as well. I don't know that this necessarily dampens his development quite yet, but, you know, we'll see. And as we're going to get to in a couple of minutes, the Rapids still aren't done.
Yeah, it's true. And let's move back down the pitch a little further. And one of these deals that seems to be coming in, Andreas Maxo, I'm assuming it's pronounced, from Bromley, coming in, Danish center back. There seems to be quite a vital part last year. If Danny Wilson and Abubakar at the back there wasn't too many options to change, it seems, and if players weren't in great form, they were still being used. So does this add like a competitive, I mean, at 28 years old, you imagine he's coming in expecting to be at least competing for a starting place, if not being like the week one starter already?
Yeah, I don't see how he isn't walking in expecting to be the starter in this one, and the Rapids are signing him specifically to do that. You know, the Rapids had, they had a three-man back line in 2021, and it kind of worked with the skill set they had and the way that they were set up in the midfield to shield against every single one of those defenders' big weaknesses. Austin Trusty is now gone, so we don't need to talk about him. He's balling out for Birmingham City in the championship on loan from Arsenal. You know, Danny Wilson was brought in to be a really good passer and then a really good header of the ball, and the team knew that one of his key weaknesses was 1v1 defending. And then Lal Subhubakar really has that dog in him. He loves the physical side of the game and everything, but he's a bit of a chaos monster, not quite Sergio Ramos, Red Mist or anything. But, you know, he can get kind of lost a little bit. And in a two-man back line, you can do that if he's got a really good babysitter and then at the other center back position, a really good right back in front of him. And the midfield structure is good. In a back three, it's fine because he can roam and do his thing. And then Austin Trusty was kind of the physical specimen that you had as well. But every single one of those defenders had a key weakness that the other one was able to cover for across the three. And on top of that, they had a midfield in front of them that limited their exposure and then also did a really good job keeping the ball. None of that happened in the midfield whatsoever. Austin Trusty checked out as soon as he was signed to Arsenal, and the Rapids were like, okay, well, we have to go with the back four because I don't have another really good third center back to play in. And their weaknesses understandably were exposed. The Rapids have been looking for a player that's still fundamentally the biggest thing they still want from their center back is that long, like 30 to 40 yard ball to play across the lines and then open things up in the attack to their wingers or to players in the midfield as well. Cole Bassett, Jonathan Lewis, Kevin Cabral potentially on the left wing, Max Alves, who I haven't mentioned as well. And so that's what they really love about Danny Wilson. That is his single biggest thing. If they can get somebody in there that also is not going to get, you know, we're not going to get shown up, you know, be a golden cone, if you will, in 1v1 defending, particularly at the level of DP striker that you're going to play against in a lot of these games in the Western Conference, that's beneficial. So playing a guy with Scandinavian roots where the Rapids have recruited and have scouted pretty heavily in the past as well, a guy who's been for a club that's played in European competition as well, where he'd play a similar to a $2 to $3 million player making a couple million dollars a year level financially to compare to a lot of MLS young DPs that you would see as well. I can't see how this isn't a move that's going to be absolutely beneficial. And even if it ends up not working out, a lot of Rapids fans are still kind of poo-pooing where they've been at center back position. I think this completely changes it. But even if he ends up being a bust, they've got four or five really young center backs. And I have to think long term, there's a good and cheaper center back option in that as well. But I have to think this is absolutely the Rapids swinging for the fences in terms of improving the center half position.
Certainly, I mean, you mentioned there that starting off with a back three in 2021, is this a sign that that might come back and we might see a shift in the formation, or is it so that there's rotation, do you think?
Yeah, well, Michael, if I'm doing my extensive research here on transfermarket.us, you know, his main positions, according to where he's played with Bromby and then also with Denmark at the various youth national team levels, he's played at both center back roles, mainly in a back four, a little bit of defensive midfielder, and then a little bit of right back as well. I guess the next question I would have as well for Robin Fraser in this is, do you think that you're going back to a back three from a center back position? I think ideally in possession at home at altitude, the Rapids want to be in a 3-4-3 on the road where they're being a little bit more counterattacky, a little bit pressing a little bit more. They want to be in a 4-3-3. So again, I think we could see a little bit of versatility. I have to think this absolutely opens the door at the third center back position, because with Austin Trusty gone last season, Gustavo Villasia wasn't really ready. Max Edwards was with the reserve team, and then Abubakar Keita was hurt as well. And so the Rapids now had four or five youth center backs. If you're also talking about one player coming out of the academy who hasn't signed with the team yet, hasn't signed a professional deal yet, and then one player, Marcel Chacon's his last name. I can't remember his first name, who was actually on the bench for Costa Rica in Qatar, who the Rapids signed to the reserve team as well. And there's some red tape in terms of how you get a player signed on an MLS Next Pro contract to sign with the first team to actually play for the first team. Yeah. But that path was forward. And so I was under the impression prior to this morning in the Fabrizio Romano tweet that the Rapids had five center backs and battle it out. Worst case scenario, one of you's on the bench for a back four. For that game in Seattle, potentially one of you becomes a starter a couple months into the season. I think obviously this changes it completely. And now those players have to be looking at, you know, Danny Wilson's in the second to last guaranteed deal of his year. He has been deteriorating anything. Can I now start to take his job rather than take Maxo's job?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see. Like I say, club doing so much business right now, it throws up so many questions, like how they're going to be setting up defensively. And one of those Okay, I guess one of those positions that is got a huge question mark over is the left back spot. With Lucas Esteves going back to Brazil, he didn't end up staying. Move wasn't made permanent. So what's going to happen there at the moment? There's a couple of young players, obviously, that I guess could step up, but are they ready? And is this going to be an area that's going to be sort of dramatically like recruited for?
Yeah, no, it's the, you know, that's the one that we haven't really, they are looking at left backs is my understanding. There's a couple of leagues in South America mainly that they're looking at as well. So many teams in MLS are looking for a left back in terms of internally that I think domestically going for a, you know, where's the Keegan Rosenberry of 5 years ago that the Rapids could get, or, you know, another domestic asset as well. You know, somebody wants Palacios from LAFC. They're paying probably almost as much as they would for Chicho Arango at this point, given the level of demand. So I don't think there's a domestic, you know, interleague, let me give you some GAM and then maybe one academy player. I don't think that move is available for the Rapids. No. So they're going to have to look abroad. And if with that being, you know, the winter months, you know, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. That's the one position that I think we knew after the Kevin Cabral signing was made that the Rapids absolutely needed to strengthen. And then it's kind of funny that in the last 48 hours, we've heard moves about, okay, yeah, Abe Rodriguez is going to play for the reserve team. They need a backup goalkeeper, and William Yarbrough is in the last guaranteed year of his contract. So really they need to sign the long-term guy. Okay, here's two rumors of guys playing in Europe that are on, you know, middle tier ones that wouldn't mind an American adventure probably. You know, okay, the Rapids could upgrade at center back. Could one of the young guys figure out, oh, here's a center back rumor. Okay, the Rapids are probably good at midfield. Cole Bass is coming back. Okay, we're absolutely good. Guy coming in from the championship with a pedigree the Rapids are familiar with. Now they're set at midfield. We don't need any more midfielders. We don't need any more forwards or attackers or wingers or anything, a left back, a center back, and a backup goalkeeper. That's it. So what's going to happen? So I don't have any names, obviously. I would have tweeted them out and gotten them the cloud if I did, but Stephen Badischer has been, you know, that veteran presence that, you know, Robin Fraser has absolutely loved. Him and Drew Moore in the past have absolutely filled a role in the locker room, on the field as well. He can play on the left. He can play on the right. And in terms of young players, Anthony Markanich is an interesting one. They got him in the second round, I think, of the super draft last year, and he was a pleasant surprise in preseason and looked really good for the reserve team as well. He could be a long-term, he could be a near-term option. The long-term answer for me, not this year and maybe even not next year, is Jackson Travis, who's a homegrown, who I've spoken to multiple people in the academy say is the he's the left back with the best upside they've had in the history of the academy, not named Sam Vines. They're not saying he's as good as Sam Vines. They're not saying that he's got like national team and like going to Europe potential or anything, but just he's the best one they've seen from that. You have to think that that ceiling is at very least an MLS starter as well. That said, he's a 17-year-old. He was playing for the reserve team. He was hurt last year. None of those guys are ready. So for me, you're literally one Stephen Badischer hamstring pull away from having that being a serious problem over the course of the next couple months. I think they need to strengthen. I think they're okay. They can be okay right now, but if you're telling me they don't sign somebody by the end of the season, by the end of the primary transfer window, then they could be in real trouble and absolutely need to sign somebody in the summer. So we'll see. That's the one position I would have picked if, you know, we'd had this podcast 2 days ago and you had said like, Matt, what absolutely needs to happen? I would have said left back before center back or before, I would have said starting left back and then a backup left back before I would have said backup goalkeeper. But I'll take Maxo before I take a second left back. I'll say that.
Okay. So we mentioned Yarbrough there, and the rumors around new goalkeepers, and doing my research, looking at your site previously, last couple of days, a backup goalie from abroad isn't exactly on brand for a Colorado Rapids from the summer.
Yeah, well, I think, Michael, as I think I mentioned this earlier, William Yarbrough is in the last guaranteed year of his deal. The team does have a team option for 2024 if they want him for two final seasons. He'll turn 34 years old in March, so effectively 34 for the majority of the MLS regular season. Like a lot of players for the Rapids, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, he took a step back to where he was in 2021 going into 2022. The the analytics and where the community is in terms of how it analyzes goalkeepers in MLS, I think has been hard. Yarbrough's been hard done by that lens through which you look at it, where it's, you know, it's the, with the X goals versus the X goals against effectively your combined expected saves. And then what you're doing relative to what an average keeper would do, but that's effectively and exclusively a shot stopping statistic. Yarbrough isn't an extremely good shot stopper. Just this past season, he had his first ever penalty save in Major League Soccer. He faced like 12 or 13 of them. And it was a really poor one taken by Christian Benteke, of all people, DC United. So, of course, that was the situation there. So he's at his best in terms of playing out of the back and organizing the defense to really prevent teams from even getting a fire started. The Rapids team defensively is at their best when they're preventing fires, not putting them out, and then allowing them to actually spread. And so it was really interesting, as one of the few members, one of the four members of the media that was actually, you know, invited to attend games during the COVID year with no fans whatsoever, and to hear everything without 13,000 people and a couple hundred supporters making noise as well. Every single game I saw, William Yarbrough was the loudest player, and then one Danny Wilson or Jack Price was the second loudest player. Maybe at times the loudest player on the opposing team was the third loudest, but very regularly the four loudest people on the pitch were Yarbrough, Price, Wilson, Robin Fraser, in that order. So, you know, Yarbrough's very good at seeing what the opponent is doing, particularly with the ball, communicating what needs to be to the defenders in front of him, and then them positionally preventing anything from going forward. That is where he's at his best. When the midfield's an absolute mess, when the center backs are a mess, when they're chopping and changing and rotating around everything, it's really hard to be particularly good at that. And so if they're able to stabilize the center back position, the midfield structure in front of him, Jack Price obviously is going to be back to be barking orders and, you know, yelling at other people as well, you know, corralling Cole Bassett and, you know, Ralph Prizzo. And if you guys don't do this, I am turning this car around, young boys, kind of a thing. So that's what Will's capable of. That's what he's best at. He is a flawed and has a very hard seal in terms of what he's capable of being as a goalkeeper, and he's on the older side, and maybe he wants to retire, and if nothing else, he's in the final guaranteed year of his deal. If the Rapids are thinking there's a real possibility we could decline that option and Yarbrough does not come back with the team, it's really right now, preferably, you know, at the end of last season, that you need to start thinking about what are we doing in terms of the future goalkeeper position. Chris Sharpie, the goalkeeper coach, loves Abraham Rodriguez. He's been in the academy for, he was in the academy for 4 or 5 years. He's been on loan with Switchbacks down in the USL Championships, played fantastically there. He was great on a really, really bad MLS Next Pro team for Rapids 2 last year. He had a lot of practice with shot stopping and penalties and all those things. He's 21 years old and he's still a little bit undersized. And so he's not ready. He could be the heir apparent in terms of long-term. I think there is a time in the next decade where Abe Rodriguez is the majority starter for one continuous MLS season. It's not this year. It's not next year. It's probably not the year after that. Can the Rapids find a goalkeeper that they really like? And so this is where I think it's interesting, these two rumors, Michael, and then also where they're coming from geographically. You have Patrick Pence, who's an Austrian goalkeeper who's been riding the bench at Reims in France. He started the first 7 games of the season and has been on the bench since. They signed another goalkeeper, and that was the starter. Pence is the backup. Does he want to go back to Austria? Does he want to come into an opportunity where he knows he's going to be the starter in a year? I think it's an interesting question. And I think the more interesting one in terms of like journey traveled is Francis Uzoho, who's starting for the super team in Cyprus, to the extent that Cyprus has super teams and everything. And also he was the goalkeeper who started for Nigeria at the 2018 World Cup, which I think is an interesting fact. The Rapids have a good history with goalkeepers who play in World Cups coming coming to the Colorado Rapids. So I think these are two interesting rumors. If you look at like price point, where they would be in terms of cost, I think it's reasonable. The one real question in the methodology I have behind, and I should say nothing's done, nothing's close to be done. These are initial talks and communication and preliminary. There's at least like there's some interest from the club and from the player in having the conversation. So if we're comparing this to, you know, this is receiving the transfer request from Football Manager or from FIFA and then saying like, let's negotiate. And then you go into the CGI restaurant in the back room, as opposed to just immediately saying, no, we're not interested in selling the player. That's where we're at. Nothing is remotely close. Don't expect the Rapids to. The Rapids are going to announce two signings in the next 48 hours. Neither of them are these goalkeepers. So I think that's a grain of salt. The one question I really have with this, Michael, is goalkeepers grow on trees in Major League Soccer. Yeah. Why wouldn't you exhaust your options looking around the benches of other MLS teams, juniors and senior goalkeepers who are going to be available in the draft potentially, maybe somebody in the USL and everything. Look for where's the next Tim Melia, who was a pool goalkeeper at one point who got signed to Sporting Kansas City because they had a crisis of injuries at the goalkeeper position. Where's Brad Stuver, who's riding the bench at New York Red Bulls, was never going to get a game. And then he got picked up in the expansion draft by Austin FC, and he could win goalkeeper of the year this year. Yeah. You know, where's that player that you could get for $250K rather than potentially spending $500,000 at least in a transfer fee for a player that's going to cost in salary just as much as Yarbrough, maybe potentially more. I'm not saying there's a good track record of veteran goalkeepers who established themselves on some level in Europe coming into MLS and then thinking, you know, I want an MLS adventure. I'd like a, you know, a more stable situation with that. Let me go do this for 4 or 5 years and then see what happens rather than maybe riding it out. There are goalkeepers like that based on the club situations of these two, Pence and Uzoho. They could fit it as well. I'm really only okay with this if the Rapids looked around, kicked the tires on all their USL targets. Chris Sharpie and the analytics team looked at it, didn't really like any of the backup goalkeepers that they think they could bring in this year. And they saw something either in the analytics or in a scouting report or in an interview they had with a former coach to where they really like something and think that this guy is long-term going to be this. Are either of these goalkeepers coming to the Colorado Rapids going to be a significant upgrade in 2025 to what Yarbrough was in 2021? If the Rapids have done all that work and say the answer to that question is yes, I'm fine with either of these signings. I'm fine with spending a transfer fee and international roster spot on a goalkeeper. If they're even wishy-washy, I would say, like, go back to the scouting reports that you've had in terms of internally, domestically. That's my only one behind this that I don't really like. I like the thinking behind the Wolves midfielder. I like the thinking behind behind the center back as well. That's the only question that I really have in the methodology on these two targets.
So they this is an interesting way to go. Like you say, the style of recruitment that Colorado go through and the opportunities of finding domestic based players so high. It's an interesting way of doing things. And it would be fascinating to see what happens over the next few weeks left of the time to bring players across. It's now we look at it with the deals that have already happened. It looks like, obviously, we've mentioned left back is the key area. Is there any other areas now where you're thinking this needs to be addressed before this offseason, not waiting till the summer?
No, I think they're good, to be honest. If we're assuming if Fabrizio Romano not quite giving the here we go is good on the center back, then I think they're good. Then they're good with that. And I don't think the goalkeeper position is something that needs to get resolved right now. You know, they could pick up some player from, you know, the pool recruitment that's going to make 100K this year to be the backup as well. So they're not urgent on the goalkeeper position, assuming William Yarbrough, hasn't been hurt in the preseason closed door scrimmage they're having earlier today as well. So goalkeepers may be a long-term move to where maybe they're kicking the tires on now and then definitely are striking in the summer when it would be easier for the two European clubs to happen. But if the center back's over the line, if the Wolves midfielder, Connor Ronan, is coming in as well, then surprisingly, the Colorado Rapids have done all of their business. If we're talking about them being potentially effectively done in principle by, you know, the 19th of January and everything. Normally it's the winter window comes through. The Rapids have made one domestic move that's not particularly interesting, what so have you. And then there aren't even rumors at this point, let alone signings that are potentially about to be announced. And then suddenly there's a scramble in February and maybe they sign some guys and half of them end up being busts, what have you. But left back's the only real concern that I have. You know, they got their business done early at the key position in terms of bringing in Kevin Cabral once they knew that Jossie Zardes was going to leave to Austin. They re-signed a few players as well. So they're good on that front as well. It was really depth in the midfield, Cole Bassett back, Connor Ronan check, center back upgrade check, you know, and then left back's really the only concern. Ironically, if you had asked me, you know, if you'd asked me again the day that Kevin Cabral signed, Matt, what's the next position that you're targeting as well? I would have said left back over all of these positions. Yeah. Maybe it's taking a little bit more time. Good things come to those who wait, I suppose. But sign a left back before that is who can start in that game in Seattle, and I think they're totally fine right now. The goalkeeper doesn't need to happen right now, and I'm not even sure the upgrade at center. Well, the upgrade at center back's already happening, but the goalkeeper position is the one that maybe doesn't look like it's towards getting done, and I don't think that's urgent. That can come back and happen in the summer. That could happen next January, and I think the Rapids would be fine, you know, running out Yarbrough again for the entire season this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of your articles I was reading, Fraser saying like 2022 was an anomaly. We're not going to go through this once again. Like, this has happened. It's never happening again. Well, what brings confidence to the fact that that's going to be true in 2023? Like the way that this team is it like you said, they've brought in these players a little bit more depth that you can think actually we're covering some of the weaknesses now with who's brought in, or is it the fact that they've experienced this and it's like no one enjoyed that and it's going to be a step up again next year?
I think it's a bit of everything, obviously. You know, last year left a really sour taste, and I think in most players' mouths. And I think especially you look at, you know, they were thoroughly out of the playoff race by, you know, August. I think they had that three game road trip where they got shellacked in Philly, they got shellacked in Nashville, and then fought for that. That was the scoreless draw against DC where Yarbrough saved the Benteke penalty. Yeah. And you know, that was kind of seen as like the death blow, like, okay, the Rapids aren't making the playoffs, and they fought back, home wins against Vancouver and against San Jose, and you know, so they were so close at the end, and I think it was so sour for them seeing how they got off to a poor start and everything. They didn't play well in the middle of the summer. They had injuries. I think they thought, yeah, like we'll figure it out. And by the time it was time to kind of figure it out, they didn't really. And then it was just so close right there. You know, you look at it, Michael. There was a red miss red card to Acosta against Houston, and then Houston scores at the death to make it 1-1. And then Yarbrough has a really terrible back pass in stoppage time at Houston to turn a 1-0 lead into a counterattack goal that leads to 1-1. Literally those two plays, Acosta doesn't go in for a second yellow. Yarbrough punts that goal kick out of bounds. Yeah. That is 4 more points against Houston. The Rapids are the 7th seed. Now, do they go to LAFC and get destroyed? Probably, but you know, but it's beside the point. So I think the players look at it and think, there were so many lessons learned and so many failures, and all the things that we did well in 2021, we didn't carry that over in 2022. Yeah. Lesson learned there. We're never going through that again. That was horrible. Yeah. On some level, there was an anomaly of injuries as well that destroyed all of their depth as well. You have to think that they're going to be fitter this season as well. That's going to be better. Players that had a down year are going to be thinking, I want to bounce back. I want to be closer to where I was in 2021 from where I was in 2022. And certainly now, as we're seeing, the front office is saying, yeah, we're upgrading positions. We're adding depth in positions of strength, just in case there's a major injury. That's never happening again. And we haven't really talked about it, Michael. Robin Fraser, I think, is sneakily one of the best underrated coaches in Major League Soccer. He is right now, in terms of his MLS journey, potentially where Graham Potter without the move to Chelsea was like 3 or 4 years ago. In terms of, he's a really calm head. He's a calming and then coming up with solutions presence in the locker room as well. He's a player's manager. He's all about culture and all of that. And he's improved so many veteran players or put them in positions to succeed. And every single young player that he's worked with has gotten significantly better from their first year working with him to their second year working with him. And most of them are much better in their third year from what they were in their first year as well. So I have to think he's looking back and thinking, I did something horribly wrong tactically in the middle of the summer. I learned from that. I'm going to solve problems there. So Robin Fraser has interesting tactical wrinkles that we haven't even seen that's going to deal with the roster with where it is right now. They're making upgrades at key positions as well. They're going to be much healthier. And all the players are kind of coming in pissed off, thinking like last year was horrible. Let's prove that better as well. So there's no doubt in my mind now, if they sign a left back that's as good or better than Lucas Estevez before February 26 as well, this team is a playoff team. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Yeah, you'd imagine the way you, like you're talking, the fact that you're bringing in all the, yeah, adding this depth, and you're not having to fight fires quite as much, you'd hope, in 2023. You definitely can see them, yeah, pushing their way straight back up into a playoff spot. And I've been asking people from speaking to people who cover other sides, like, who's this young player that's going to come through that people outside of the club maybe don't know too much about, who they can enjoy. I was going to ask you that, but also from the way that Colorado is and the way
there's four or five of them I can give you.
But I was thinking, like, there may be one young player, but also an older player, because it's like you were just saying there's players that come in who are maybe at the lowest point of some of their levels of their forms throughout their career that they can turn it around in Colorado with under the management here. So is there a young player and maybe someone else who's a little bit more experienced that maybe next year's, like 2023, is going to be the time that they can really start progressing again and reaching their heights?
I've mentioned it a few times. Ollie Larraz, I think, was the player that we were expecting to break out with the midfield departures that we had last season. And then he broke his tibia, fibula, one of the bones in the leg, and he's effectively out for the rest of the year. He was back in, he was done rehabbing and then training with the team through the end of the rest of the season, but, you know, figured, you know, get one game doesn't really matter that much. So he's kind of the one, you know. Teams and most people around MLS knew who Sam Vines was in 2019. They knew about Cole Bassett. They had heard of Sebastian Anderson. I don't know that everybody's heard of Ollie Larraz. He's the one that I think could break out. Most people know who Ralph Prizzo is. The one as well, Sebastian Anderson, you know, came in and he signed with the first team, and then the Rapids immediately signed Keegan Rosenberry. You know, Stallworth doesn't make a defensive mistake. Iron Man has played, he's played every single minute, all 34 starts, for 3 seasons in a row. And Sebby's kind of been behind him as well. He's looked good on loan spells that he's had to the championship, the USL championship, not the English championship. But, you know, I question with what I've seen from him, I don't know that his ceiling is more than just like MLS role player, maybe starter if you don't really have depth options there. I think Ollie's really the one where there's a lot of youth potential with his pedigree in terms of the time he spent at the academy level in Germany. So he's a really good presser, and he's a bit of a physical specimen for his side as well. And then he did spend a little bit of time in the satellite academy that Barcelona has out in Arizona. So he's really good. Him and Cole Bassett are, if you look at like under 22, like two players from any one MLS team that could 5v2 Rondo the other two under 22 players, Cole Bassett and Ollie Larraz have to be top five in Major League Soccer. And so I think him and Ralph Prizzo could break out, albeit mostly off the bench for the Rapids this season. And then you mentioned kind of old players that kind of had a bad year last year as well, that could, that could see an upgrade or could see an improvement as well. Would be Brian Acosta for me in the midfield, who kind of came in, and he was supposed to be, in a different way, an upgrade, not an upgrade, a replacement for Kellen Acosta, who had departed, you know. And then Jack Price pulls his calf, and it's like, well, you're the best number six we have, even though you're out of position. And he was kind of scrambling. And I think there were a lot of ways similar to Danny Wilson, where he looked really bad and people thought that he was on a poor run of form last year, when he was working with a really bad situation that was exposing him to all of his greatest weaknesses as well. And so I'm wondering, does he take a step up now, knowing that there's better midfielders in front of him that are going to provide an outlet for him to pass to? And then also Jack Price is going to be healthy, and every midfielder on this team has looked better with Jack Price than they have without him as well. So can Brian Acosta not get to where Kellen Acosta was, because I think Kellen's certainly a better player, but can he be a serviceable, like, above replacement level player as well, to kind of stabilize that in the midfield? And then if he doesn't, because he fails as well, then that just means that Connor Ronan or Ralph Prizzo or Ollie Larraz are beating him out in training and then earning that spot.
That's interesting. Like, you said you'd definitely be a playoff side, the way things are going, and if it all clicks and no major injuries concerns and things like that. Do you think a home is a home playoff game what Colorado should be aiming for, or is it just, let's just get ourselves back in the playoffs and we'll attack that from there?
I think a home playoff game, I think, is the reach goal. I think the first thing, obviously, is to be top seven in the Western Conference, but I think that would be their ceiling. I think this team could finish fourth in the Western Conference. I'm not going to predict that, but I think that's certainly what they're capable of. I think Seattle's definitely going to be better this season. I'm kind of curious about Nashville, because they haven't done a whole lot, and I think really their weaknesses were certainly exposed. You know, I do. I think LAFC.
Oh, they're moving across to the east, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are moving across to the east. I forgot.
You've got St. Louis now. To to work out what's going to happen there.
I am not worried about St. Louis City finishing above the Colorado Rapids in the Western Conference this year, you know, but I think Sporting Kansas City's done some interesting things. LAFC obviously is going to be up there. And then did the LA Galaxy finally take their step up back to being a real contender in the West as opposed to a hopeful? Those would be the teams I'd feel comfortable. The two LAs and then Seattle, Kansas City-ish, we'll see. Are the ones that I feel confident will certainly be better than the Colorado Rapids. You know, I've seen there's some rumors around Driussi, and then now that the word's out, Austin's good, and so Austin should be taken seriously in ways that maybe the Rapids were able to take care of business against them in 2021. But I think certainly definitely back in the playoffs, and I think they're thinking that's something we want to get. But that's the bonus. So again, if I make another FIFA analogy, the primary goal is to just make the playoffs, but then the bonuses will come in if the Rapids finish top four. I think they can. I don't know that they will. Talk to me in 2 months when they sign a left back finally.
Yeah, exactly. Matt, thank you so much for joining me. It's really, really great to dive into Colorado. It's not a side I've been able to talk to anyone about before, so this has been great for me. And can you remind everyone where they can follow you and all the work around the Colorado Rapids so they can keep up to date this year?
Yeah, thank you. So you can follow me on Twitter at LWOS Matt Pollard. My last name's Pollard. Since we've been talking about Scandinavian center backs, it's two Matts in Matt and Matthew. And then if you want to hear me in auditory form, holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, find it on any podcatcher. We're on every single podcatcher all of our fans want us to be on. And then that Twitter account is at Rapids96Podcast. And the majority of my written work you can find at burgundywave.com on SB Nation and at burgundywave on Twitter.
Brilliant. Thanks again. And hope you have a great time following the team this season, and a lot more ups than there were downs last year.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Michael. This was absolutely fantastic. This was scratching the itch. I wasn't able to podcast with my co-host on HTHL. So this is the conversation that we would have been having later tonight with all these rumors.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Have a great time.
Thank you.